Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, July 31st, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Education, Hawks Move Nest After Tornado. Prep work on track to hold Meridian classes in Stonington. This is from Blue Mound. Work continues for the start of classes for Meridian Elementary School students. Only this year, those preparations are taking place in Stonington. The elementary building in Blue Mound was damaged by a tornado on June 17th, peeling away portions of the roof, with further damage done to classrooms by the torrential rains that accompanied the storm. Superintendent Shane Gordon said the immediate focus has shifted from cleanup to moving classroom equipment to the former Stonington School, where Meridian's K-5 students will attend classes beginning on August 18th. The school building in Stonington was formerly part of the Taylorville School District, but was closed in 2019. Considerable work was required to transform the Stonington building back into a school, Gordon said, with painting and new flooring, but that has all been completed. Moving began Wednesday, with teachers having access to their new classrooms early next week, so they can begin organizing and decorating for the 2026-27 academic year. While being in a different building will be a big change for students, Gordon said, everything else about the school will be the same. I really don't anticipate any issues, he said. The kids will have their teachers and peers, the lunchroom and gym, and a playground for recess. As the damaged elementary building, Gordon said, cleanup is mostly complete. A YouTube video made by Gordon at the Meridian Building in Blue Mound provides details of the current situation, with the pre-K area largely undamaged, so preschool students will continue to attend school in Blue Mound in the coming year. I don't have a sort of definitive timeline for when work is going to begin to repair the Meridian Elementary, Gordon said. We're at the point now where demolition is done and the architect is designing plans and specifications for the areas of work. That's going to take until November or December. Then it can go out for bids. We should have bids by February or so, and work can begin in March or April. Students will attend classes in Stonington for at least all of this coming year, with a decision about next year, and a decision about next year will be made depending on how quickly repairs can be completed over the spring and summer of 2027. And the large photo on the front page shows Austin Beard moving classroom supplies from Meridian Elementary School to the former Stonington School building on Wednesday, July 29th. And he's got a dolly with several big boxes on it. He's walking down a ramp from a truck. And another smaller photo, shows Ryan Kay moving Meridian Elementary School supplies into the former Stonington School building on Wednesday, July 29th. And this person, again, has a dolly with several boxes stacked on it, and one is in his arm, under his arm, and he's inside the building. And behind him is a team of other people with dollies rolling out. Looks like they're headed toward outside to get more boxes to move in to the school. Lots of boxes, lots of supplies to move. Also on the front page, environment, carbon storage data center risks, eyed. Forum speakers back proposed regulations on water and power use. There are a lot of discussions taking place in the area, the state, and nation about data centers, and those discussions usually bring with them many questions and concerns. Soy City and Divisible, with help from the Illinois People's Action, Prairie Rivers Network, and the Citizens Utility Board, hosted Let's Talk Data Centers on Wednesday with the goal of addressing those questions. I've been involved in this topic since I first spoke at the City Council meeting in October 2024 when they were talking about an easement for ADM to sequester CO2 under the lake, said Verlin Rosenberger, who attended Wednesday's event at the Decatur Public Library. And one thing leads to the next. Once you have sequestration, then the Broadwing Power Company can come in and make energy and make more pollution to be sequestered. Then a data center can come in, and it's one thing after another, she said. None of it is good for the health, safety, or well-being of the residents, she said. That's the number one job of any government body, she said, the health, the safety, and the well-being of its residents. The Broadwing Energy Center project along Brush College Road calls for the construction of a gas-fired low-carbon power generation plant. The majority of the power will be purchased by Google to run its artificial intelligence operation. Once fully operational, more than 90% of the carbon dioxide produced by the plant is expected to be captured, which will be permanently stored on-site using Archer Daniels Midland Company's carbon capture and storage capabilities. At this point, no proposals or applications for permits or data centers in Macon County have been presented, but data centers are underway or recently approved in communities throughout Illinois, including Champaign, Bloomington, and Peoria, and proposals are being considered in Sangamon, Logan, and Christian counties. Macon County Board has appointed a committee to consider the pros and cons of data centers before deciding whether to enact a moratorium on any proposals. A report from the Citizens Volunteer Action Committee is expected at the August 13th meeting. An hour-long presentation Wednesday included data about sequestration, the increased load on the power grid, the noise of data centers, and potential for an accident if the pressure becomes too great in the underground storage. The capstone that keeps the carbon dioxide underground can crack and cause the CO2 to escape, which could have serious consequences, said Don Dannenbring, policy director of Illinois People's Action. A typical household uses about 10,000 kilowatt-hours per year, depending on the size of the home and whether some appliances such as stoves and furnaces run on gas. The largest data center in Illinois and Cook County uses 158 megawatts, said Andrew Wren of Prairie Rivers. That raises electricity rates for everyone because the companies that generate power have to produce and deliver it at a higher volume, which costs more, and they pass those costs on to consumers. And while some data centers don't use water for cooling their servers, they use air conditioning, which puts another load on the electrical grid. The air conditioning means the heat is displaced and has to be released, usually into the air. The ones who do use water usually have to acquire it from the local sources, which in Macon County would be Lake Decatur. The used water would have to be treated by the local water treatment plant, and pollutants in the water could overwhelm that process, and the high volume of water necessary could deplete the amount of water available for residents. Illinois has always been considered a water-rich state and lacks modern water laws, Wren said, which needs to change. All four of the organizations are in support of the Power Act, protecting our water, energy, and ratepayers, which would require data centers to fund their own energy generation and infrastructure, use clean energy sources, fund annual demand-based fees to fund utility assistance programs, require permits for water usage and transparency in usage reports and pollutants, restrict the use of diesel-powered generators, and ban non-disclosure agreements. The act is in committee and did not come up for a vote in the spring, but the organizations will host a lobby day during the fall veto session and encouraged everyone at the meeting to plan to attend. Buses will be available for transportation, and voters can meet their legislators and encourage them to support the measure. In response to the rapid expansion of data centers across Illinois, event organizers have collaborated with concerned community members in several Illinois cities and towns to hold similar community conversations, providing the opportunity to learn about the Power Act and discuss statewide and local solutions for data center impacts. Additional events are planned statewide. We're at a critical moment, Data centers are coming faster than ever, and communities are dealing with the consequences in silos, Wren said. The state needs to lead, and the Power Act will provide every community in the state with the protections they need when a data center comes to town. Information about local and state action is available at Soy City and Divisible website, soycityindivisible.org. That's all one word, soycityindivisible.org/. And a recording of the event is available at Let's Talk Data Centers. We want our neighbors to be educated on the risks that data centers pose to our city, towns, and county, as well as clarifications on the talking points used by a data center developer to woo communities like ours into allowing these complexes to be built, said Adam Herman of Soy City Indivisible. Communities across Illinois are grappling with data center proposals seeking local improvement. So far this year, some data centers across Illinois have received local approval and some have been denied. The approved data centers total over 5 gigawatts of energy demand, which is more than the demand of the entire city of Chicago. For the second year in a row, we're seeing significant increases for energy prices, and data centers are driving these increases, said Scott Allen, energy policy specialist with the Citizens Utility Board. Until we do something about it, we should expect more of the same next year. And the photo here on page A6, nearly all of the seats were filled at an event to discuss the implications of data centers, which was held at Decatur Public Library and hosted by Soy City Indivisible, Illinois People's Action, Citizens Utility Board, and Prairie Rivers Network. And the room, as they said, is all the seats are full of people at the public library in Decatur. Also on the front page, industry, $10 million from Caterpillar to train workforce. This is from Edwards. Caterpillar may have moved its global headquarters to Texas, but the company retains a significant presence in Illinois. The manufacturing giant on Wednesday announced its most recent investment in the state, allocating up to $10 million to prepare workers across Illinois for the modern manufacturing and industry technician jobs of the future. Caterpillar has a long history in Illinois, Caterpillar Senior Vice President Chad Hepler said Wednesday at the company's Edwards Demonstration and Learning Center. We have 17,000 employees across the state that are helping to design, build, and support the products and solutions that our customers depend on. From building large mining trucks in Decatur and large track-type tractors in East Peoria to manufacturing fuel systems in Pontiac, Illinois, employees help solve our customers' toughest challenges. Caterpillar began operating in Decatur in June 1955 and is one of the community's leading employers with over 3,000 workers. Caterpillar celebrated 100 years in 2025 and announced a commitment to invest $100 million in workforce development over 5 years to commemorate the occasion. The newest investment marks the fourth allocation for the Building and Future Workforce Initiative, which includes 2 state launches and an innovation challenge. Caterpillar intends to leverage the funds toward generating more interest in manufacturing jobs, strengthening the company's connection with local training and educational institutions, making access to training and education more affordable and available to Illinois workers, and sharing innovations up to maximize the investment's impact. We're launching this effort here in Illinois because Illinois is a manufacturing powerhouse of over 570,000 workers in manufacturing in the state, said Christy Pambianchi, Caterpillar's chief human resources officer. And so we want to, over the next 5 years, leverage this commitment to grow and invest careers in modern manufacturing around the United States and around the world. The Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County is among the organizations collaborating to strengthen pathways in manufacturing and industrial skills for the current and future workforce. In Decatur, Caterpillar's investment will catalyze a coalition connecting major area employers, educational and training institutions, government entities, and nonprofit support services to align across every stage of the career pathway, from initial recruitment and training to wraparound support and long-term employment. This effort will move local leaders from discussion to a concrete roadmap to prepare both current workers and the next generation of students for modern, high-tech manufacturing and industrial technician jobs in the area, said Nicole Bateman, president of the EDC. Aspects of the roadmap preparation includes creating a regional asset map of existing training labs, curricula, recruitment efforts, grants, and support services to leaders pinpoint actual training gaps versus perceived ones, ensuring resources are directed where they're needed, most without repeating existing efforts. It will also focus on training alignment on the specific skills needed to make and service modern advanced equipment and target broader perception shift efforts to help local students, parents, and educators recognize the value of modern industrial technician and advanced manufacturing careers. Other collaborators include the Greater Peoria Leadership Council, the Livingston Area Career Center, and Heartland Community College. A demonstration of new Caterpillar products followed the announcement Wednesday and featured CAT's 992 wheel loader, the 777 off-highway truck, and traditional earth-moving equipment. Caterpillar's commitment to strengthening our workforce will help more Illinoisans get the skills they need to successfully enter the workforce and ensure our manufacturers have the talent they need to grow and compete, said Governor J.B. Pritzker in a press release. I'm proud to work alongside their team as we create more pathways to good-paying careers and solidify Illinois' global manufacturing leadership. And there's a photo here of the Caterpillar equipment speeds by during a demonstration Wednesday, July 29th, 2026, at the Edwards Learning and Demonstration Center in Edwards. CAT announced a new investment of up to $10 million in their Building a Future Workforce initiative in Illinois to prepare workers for a new future in modern manufacturing. And we see the backs of several people in the audience, and there's a huge Caterpillar equipment, a couple of them, in the main focus of the photo. In more local news on A2, man accused of reckless discharge, guests fleeing after gunfire strikes their hotel room. The frightening case of two hotel guests who checked out in a hurry after leaving, having a bullet shot through their room ceiling, is described in a sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department. Defendant Quintrell D. Banks, who has a previous conviction for concealing a homicidal death, is due in court August 19th, when he will enter a plea to charges of armed violence and the reckless discharge of a gun endangering life. He's also charged with the aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon and being a felon in possession of a gun and possession of methamphetamine. A small amount of the drug was found in the USA Inn room Banks had occupied, according to police. The affidavit said Banks, 33, was present in the room with a female guest on the afternoon of July 26th when a gun he was handling fired once, shooting a bullet into the room immediately below him. Officer Jared Sikowski, who signed the affidavit, said Banks had later been traced and reached by phone and claimed he was about to sell the gun and it fired as he was pulling it out of a bag. Quintrell stated that he would not come back and speak with officers and stated that officers would not find the firearm because he'd already sold it, Sikowski said. Police, however, didn't buy that story, and by 5 p.m. that day, Banks was tracked down to an address in the 2100 block of East Wood Street and arrested. The guests vacated their room in the wake of the gunshot. A man 38 and a 37-year-old woman, had fled to a nearby parking lot after calling 911. They described, hearing the shot and then seeing plaster particles in the air and a bullet hole in their room ceiling and a corresponding hole in the floor. They both stated they called 911 and immediately left the hotel, Sikowski said. But police were interested to discover they had stopped to tell staff at the hotel's front counter what had happened. Officers reviewed the surveillance tape and saw a 38-year-old hotel worker subsequently go to Banks's room and exit a short time later carrying a dark-colored bag. DPD officers confronted the hotel worker about this, and he stated the two guests came to the front counter and informed him that a bullet went through their ceiling, Sikowski said. The worker stated he entered the room and made contact with Quintrell and asked him what happened. Quintrell stated that nothing happened and gave him a dark in color shoulder bag to throw in the trash can. The worker stated he never looked in the bag and threw it away in the dumpster outside. The semi-automatic gun with a defaced serial number and magazine with two live rounds was later fished out of the dumpster by police. After being arraigned Tuesday in Macon County Circuit Court, Banks was denied pretrial release by Judge Jack Kiley on the grounds he posed too great a risk to public safety. A check of court record shows his conviction for concealing a homicidal death dates to October of 2024 when he was sentenced to 120 days in jail, placed on probation for 24 months. Banks had been present at a Decatur house on November 28, 2023, when another man, messing around with a gun, had accidentally shot 34-year-old mother Amanda C. Carter to death in front of her children, aged 6 and 4. Banks said he had helped drag the body out of the living room and conceal it in a bedroom. He had claimed he did this to hide it from police, but to get the remains away from the Carters' distraught children. What's happening? Farmers market today in La Place. The La Place Auction House will host a farmers market flea market event, 5 p.m. to dark on Friday, today, July 31st, at 210 West Front Street, La Place. Admission is free. Vendors pay $15 and have to supply their own tables and chairs. Call 217-433-9112 to reserve a space. Again, that's 217-433-9112 to reserve a space. Setup begins at 4 p.m. Items for sale include baked goods, crafts, collections, flowers, produce, and frozen meats. Education. Summer is winding down for area school districts with the first day of school coming up in just a few weeks. Here are Macon County Schools' first day schedules. Decatur Public Schools, August 12th. Argenta Oriana, August 19th. Moroa Forsyth, August 18th. Meridian, August 18th. Mount Zion, August 17th. Sangamon Valley, August 13th. Warrensburg Latham, August 19th. Parochial schools. St. Teresa High School, St. Patrick School, Holy Family School, and Our Lady of Lourdes School, August 19th. Unity Christian School, August 13th. Decatur Christian School, August 17th. The state requires students in preschool, kindergarten, 6th grade, 9th grade, and students transferring from out of state to have physicals and vaccinations for core childhood diseases, and eye exams are required for students entering kindergarten. The deadline for providing documentation is October 15th, or students will be excluded from school. Dental exams for children in kindergarten, 2nd grade, and 6th grade are due by May 15th. And more news on page A3. One held after hit-and-run crash. Report, Ameren worker severely hurt. Macon County Sheriff's Office investigators arrested a man after hit-and-run that severely injured an Ameren, Illinois employee Sunday evening. Clifford England, 39, of Decatur, has been booked into the Macon County Jail on preliminary charges of leaving the scene of a personal injury accident, failure to report an accident, and improper lane usage. He will be held in the Macon County Jail pending a detention hearing. According to the initial investigation, the deputies responded to the report of a hit-and-run involving a pedestrian at approximately 6:30 p.m. Sunday on Turpin Road and South Shores Drive. At that location, two employees of Ameren, Illinois, were working at a substation just south of the intersection, Lieutenant Scott E. Flannery stated in a news release. The Ameren truck was pulled off the roadway on the east side of Turpin Road. The warning lights for the work truck were activated and traffic cones were placed around the vehicle. A 39-year-old Ameren employee from Mount Pulaski was retrieving tools from the truck when he was struck by a northbound vehicle, the report stated. The co-worker of the victim was able to identify the vehicle as a white, full-sized pickup truck with black lettering on the side and rear of the vehicle. The driver of the white truck momentarily stopped before speeding away, the witness stated. The victim was taken to a local hospital where he was treated for numerous broken vertebrae and a severe concussion. Deputies investigating the incident used the flock camera systems to establish a possible license plate associated with the suspected vehicle. Once identification was made, deputies responded to the registered address of the vehicle and located the truck used in the hit and run, Flannery stated in the release. Joliet, man, woman accused of murder. Charges follow discovery of remains in Lake Mattoon. A man and woman from Joliet have been charged with first-degree murder in the death of a man whose remains were found in Lake Mattoon and a freezer at a residence. A Will County grand jury returned an indictment with a first-degree murder charge against Robin Turner, 62, and James Adams, 26. The indictment alleges the two intended to kill or do great bodily harm to Dale Wayne Turner, 38, of Joliet, by inflicting sharp force injury to him on June 21st. Robin Turner is the husband of Dale Wayne Turner, who is the half-brother of Adams, according to Will County prosecutors. An autopsy on July 5th in Kankakee County found Dale Wayne Turner suffered multiple stab wounds, prosecutors said. Robin Turner and Adams also are charged with the concealment of the homicidal death of Dale Wayne Turner. Some of Dale Wayne Turner's remains were found in Lake Mattoon. His other remains were found in a freezer inside a Joliet residence. And a local page with Central Illinois Snapshots, H&R photographer Joseph Ressler shares his favorite photos from June. We won't have time to read them all in this segment, but we see a photo of a man kneeling at a tombstone above. Director Christopher Webster rubs the headstone of Daniel L. Kick, a Marine Corps private first class in the Vietnam War at Camp Butler National Cemetery in Springfield on June 16th. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, July 31st, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.